The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
So you're going to do this again. You're going to pick the Patriots to win, the Cowboys to cover, and you're going to make the Cowboys one of your best bets of the week. Are you kidding me? Did you learn nothing last week?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, you only have a three-game lead. I didn't learn anything.
Oh, baby. You know what I learned? I learned Jason Garrett. I put a call in. I said, hey, you got to cover the spread. Kick the field goal, even though it'll do nothing for your team. Kick the field goal, cover the spread. Sims win a best bet. Oh, Shamrock up my ass on that one. Okay.
About time.
Yeah.
About time.
About time. So, hey, please rate, review. We got the joint PFT PM, Chris Sims Unbutton. We did earlier today our Thanksgiving picks. So if anybody's expecting to hear that, you got to go to the little Thanksgiving special podcast. All right. And now we will get to the rest of our week 13 picks. Last week, Florio, you were 9-5 straight up. I was 10-4. Eat it. And best bets, we both went 2-1.
Wait, don't you? No. Beating me by one game does not count as eating. Boy, the spread, I was not good against the spread. That's not good. That's embarrassing.
Well, it's again, I will argue for you here as I argue. I'm an evil Roger Goodell. You're such assholes, everybody back there.
You just noticed it's been up there for four fucking weeks.
I don't think I have noticed it, actually, one time. Can we find another picture of me? Holy crapola. yes, but against the spread, I mean, again, I don't really care about my record. Some of these teams, I just wouldn't bet on this game with the spread. I mean, there's shit teams, and you know what? You can't predict shit because shit is shit. All right, so I wouldn't. It doesn't matter. I'm four games back to you for the season, and straight up, I'm four games back straight up. I'm three games back in our best bets last week. Just to cover, you took the under in Dallas, New England. Of course, got that in the monsoon. That was a very smart bet by you. I'm an idiot for not doing that. What did you do here?
I was going to go the under.
I was going to go the under
in Broncos Bills, and I should have instead of the Falcons. I took Baltimore to cover, and I'd say they covered by a few.
Yes, they did. And then you lost the Atlanta Falcons. I won Cleveland covering against the Miami Dolphins. I won because Dallas kicked the field goal. And then I took the under in Baltimore, Los Angeles Rams. And really, you know, even with the point explosion, I was kind of close. That's what's crazy. I just kept thinking, oh, the Rams will slow down. The Ravens will take the pedal off the gas, or the foot off the pedal, I should say. That didn't happen, so I lost that one. All right, let's get into it. Game of the week, one of the games of the year, 1 p.m., 49ers, Ravens, two of the most physical teams in all of football. They both pride themselves on being bullies right now. I am so excited to watch this football game. You got the 49ers, which are arguably the greatest, best defense in football. I mean, yards per game, they are the best defense in football. We all talk a lot about the Patriots, but this 49ers team is on pace to break records as far as pass defense is concerned. It's right now, it's the best pass defense in the history of football. That's where we're at right now with the San Francisco 49ers. Now, Ravens are favored by 5.5. They got the short week. They're at home, though. Over-under at 46.5. Mike, lead it off. What do you think, dude?
Yeah, look, this is all a gut feel type of a game, and I hate picking against the 49ers, but the Ravens are as good as any team we've seen in the regular season in recent years. Seven straight victories, blowouts, back-to-back weeks over teams with winning records. First team ever to win by 34 or more points in consecutive games against winning teams. It's incredible what the Ravens have been doing. I like them to hold serve at home. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by either team. I think it's going to be a close game. Justin Tucker field goal type of a game. 24-21. I hadn't seen the over-under before I picked my score. I got 45 total points. The over-under is 46.5. But I got the 49ers covering because the Ravens, 5.5, I feel like that's a little bit high. I like
agree.
The Ravens to win.
Yeah.
But I like the 49ers to cover. I got 24-21. It's going to be a great game.
Yep.
And you know, I don't want to jinx Lamar Jackson, but we constantly worry about him possibly getting injured. I hope this isn't the game where it happens because that 49ers defense, they've got the weaponry
yes.
to hit him and hit him hard and hit him legally. And I just hope he finds a way to avoid the big hits like he has all year.
Yeah, awesome game. Two, you know, physical defenses like you're explaining. Two of the most creative run games in all of football. So that's the other way I look at it, too. Like, you know, again, you can't prepare for Lamar Jackson, but the 49ers defense, they do have get to see the Kyle Shanahan running system, which has people going every which way, this way, that way. Oh, the ball's up the middle. The ball's out in the edge. So they're going to be a little accustomed to some of the run game design. Nothing can get you accustomed for Lamar Jackson. We know that. Also, you know, again, the 49ers, I will say this, they do have the formula on the defensive side of the ball, I think, to slow down Lamar and company because – they have 5 first-round picks, as we know. They have some other guys on their defensive line who are very good. I do think you'll see some 5 defensive linemen sets from them at times when they feel like it's going to be a run down or a run situation. So that is very interesting to me. Also, I don't think the Ravens have played an offense like this all year, and I just want to make sure, just as I pull up their schedule, I wrote this down, and I just want to look at it one more time to see this, but I don't know if they played an offense as well coached in the run game, and then to have the play action and bootlegs off of it is going to be scary. If there's one issue I have with the Ravens team and defense in general, and we saw this in the New England game, their front 7 is slow. They're big and overpowering, but they are slow. And because of that, they will play man-to-man and do things like that, and it's scary to play man-to-man against these receivers in San Francisco. I'm going with the upset, Mike. I think the 49ers are the best team in football. I think they're the most well-rounded team. I think it's very close. I think it's, you know, neck and neck with the Ravens, with the 49ers right there. I mean, with the Patriots right there in that conversation. But I'm going to go 49ers on the road, 24-20. And a little bit of the short week, having to travel back from the West Coast for the Ravens against the Rams on Monday night and all that plays into my thinking. But I'm going Niners here with just a gut feel, and I do think they match up pretty well with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, look, it's not going to surprise me if the 49ers win the game, and they are in the middle of this very difficult stretch. They've already proven themselves against the Green Bay Packers. They've got the Saints next. They still have to play the Rams and the Seahawks. They have the heat on them from the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
They cannot afford to have a false move. Already it's feeling like week 17 is going to be the NFC West championship game, which has the one seed hanging in the balance when San Francisco goes to Seattle. And look, are they going to win every game? Are they going to go 15-1? Are they going to be 14-1 going into that last game of the season? Wouldn't that be something if they're 14-0 against the rest of the league and 0-2 against the Seahawks? We're getting ahead of ourselves. I don't think they're going to win on Sunday because I just feel like at some point, they have to step into that pothole like they did against the Seahawks when they're playing this unprecedented gauntlet of great teams with all of the teams above 80% winning percentage,
right.
3 in a row. It's never happened in the Super Bowl era. If the Saints beat the Falcons tomorrow night, it will indeed be 3 in a row with the opponents over 80% winning percentage. I feel like the Ravens at home, that energy, and they continue to be pushing toward a higher and higher level of performance. I love this one. And, you know, remember it was 8 years ago on Thanksgiving night, Ravens 49ers, when it was the Harbaugh brothers,
right.
A year before they met in the Super Bowl. We felt like this was going to be a special matchup for years to come, and here we are. One Harbaugh is still there. The other one's gone, but it's still going to be a great game.
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought about that as I was picking this game. I was like, I mean, How weird would that be if these two teams, you know, there is John Harbaugh going to a second Super Bowl this year, and if he had to play the 49ers again, but yet it's a different head coach. And just ironic, just a thought. Thought it was funny. All right, so we see different there. That's great. Let's get to the next one. Redskins-Panthers. Redskins get the win last week against the Detroit Lions. We know that's nothing to brag about. Panthers favored by 9.5 at home, over under at 40.5. What do you think goes down here, Michael?
I think that the Panthers roll up the Washington franchise. I think the Panthers getting increasingly desperate. They need to win games. Ron Rivera's job is on the line, and this is a Washington team that they should beat. Hey, Washington got to win.
Yeah.
They can exhale. And that's the – I don't want to go get off my lawn with the whole Dwayne Haskins taking the selfies while the game was still playing. He shouldn't have done that.
No.
But I think that incident is a microcosm of the victory lap that they're going to take. They don't expect to go to Carolina and win, so they won't. They got their win over the Lions, and maybe they'll get one more down the stretch. But I really don't see this team Thanksgiving week locking in and focusing the way they need to in order to go to Carolina and give them a good game. So I think the Panthers start getting themselves back in the right direction. They were dangerously close to beating the Saints. I think that gives them a little lift as they try to make a late run at the postseason.
Yep, I got you. Want to say a score?
My score is 27, Carolina, 13, Washington.
Okay. I got 27-10 Panthers, and I think you're right. How can you trust the Redskins offense? Let's not forget, the Redskins last week, it was four field goals and a kick return for 91 yards. Okay? So that's how they scored their points. Dwayne Haskins, it has not looked pretty. He can take as many selfies as he wants. He was 13 for 29 with an interception. I mean, I don't know what. You know, again, it's happy you win a game, but I don't think you go to the fans and go, oh, man, I was amazing today. Let me take selfies to get my first victory. It's a great moment, whatever else. But, yes, I just think Carolina's defense will smother Washington's offense. And because of that, I think eventually the dam breaks on that Redskins defense. That's not horrible, but it's just not great. And I do think that Carolina offense has some weapons, and North Turner coaches them very well. I go Panthers 27-10. All right, Jets, Bengals, J-E-T-S. On a roll, favored by 3.5 at Cincinnati, back to Andy Dalton, over under 41.5. You think Andy Dalton can pull off some magic here?
You know, we talked on, I think, PFT Live about whether or not the Giants will put Eli Manning on the field late in the year as kind of a farewell tour and to get people to show up. And after you've pulled the ball out of his hands, does he really want to play again? And I wonder if Andy Dalton really wants this. They're 0-11. What's the upside?
Right.
You're only risking an injury that's going to screw up your ability to get paid on the open market because you're not going to be back in Cincinnati next year. So I don't know that this is going to matter for the Bengals. I think that they gave their best shot to the Steelers, and now this is kind of the rebound. Again, bad teams, I'd love to do the research on this, but my guess is that bad teams who are underdogs Thanksgiving week, my guess is they do horribly against the spread because it's Thanksgiving week. They're not in the playoff chase. Who the hell cares? And I feel like that mindset's going to apply to the Bengals. And the Jets, who are playing for something until they step into the buzzsaw that is the Ravens in a couple of weeks, the Jets are turning it around, and I think the Jets go there, and I think the Jets win fairly easily. I've got 30-17. The Bengals could make it closer. Not sure it's going to be one of my best bets, but I do like the Jets 30-17, which would mean they would cover easily the 3.5-point spread.
I like the Jets, too. The Jets have a top-10 defense in football. The Jets can stop the run. I do think Andy Dalton will give the team and organization a little juice this week because they've really had no hope with Ryan Finley in that experiment. None at all. You know, I could see the Jets being a little underwhelmed and somewhat asleep at the wheel against the Bengals as well. But like you said, they are still playing for something. They're in the hunt. The offense has been very good as of late. Adam Gase's, you know, first 10 or first 12 to start a game, he is en fuego. I mean, he's so hot, I want to touch the hiney with his first 10. I think they've scored on the first drive of the game, I want to say like 5 weeks in a row. Either whatever it is, it's good. Just trust me. And then Sam Darnold's been playing well. I think the Bengals kind of hang around and are a pain in the ass, but I'm going to pick the Jets to win 27-23 in that one. We both got the win, but you got the Jets kind of blowing them out. That'll be interesting. I guess I worry a little bit, you know, Mixon, Boyd, some of those guys, Andy Dalton. Sometimes I don't love the Jets secondary. I guess that's where I worried about a little bit. But anything else you want to say before we move on to the next one?
No, let's move on. We've said enough about that crap game. Yep. All due respect.
Yep.
Crap game.
Actually, no respect. Okay. So, Titans, Colts, AFC South showdown. Shocker. The AFC South, no one knows what the fuck's going to happen. I mean, is this like it's the yearly anthem of the AFC South? I don't know. I have no feel for the Titans. I have no feel for the Colts. The Texans. There can be all over the place, too. I mean, the Jaguars are falling apart. So now it's a three-man race between the Titans, the Colts, the Jags. Titans, okay, are the Colts are favored by 2.5. The over-under at 43.5. The Colts did have the long week because they played last Thursday against the Houston Texans. How you seize this, Florio?
Yeah, I mean, horribly inconsistent Titans team that seems to be settling in and winning some games.
Right.
But the Colts, look, the Colts are better than 6-5. And if the Colts want to get to the playoffs, this is one they have to win. It's not quite an elimination game, obviously, but to fall to 6-6 with all those teams that are in that cluster of 6-5 and 5-6 right now in the AFC, that would hurt the Colts immeasurably. Jonathan Williams played well in place of Marlon Mack, who will be out again. Jacoby Brissett is getting more and more healthy in the aftermath of that knee injury. I just feel like this is one the Colts have to win. They find a way to win it. A disappointing loss last Thursday night in Houston where I thought they were going to win the game arguably should have won the game. A couple of drops by T.Y. Hilton didn't help. Bad decision on 4th-and-7 didn't help with 3 minutes left.
Right.
And a failure to take a closer look at whether or not there was a camera angle showing that Darius Leonard had recovered a fumble with 1:42 to play. Yeah. So I just like the Colts in this one. Close game, 21-20. Colts over the Titans. That means Titans cover, but Colts win. Threading the needle. I'm doing the Chris Sims needle thread on this one. But I do like the Colts, but I don't like it to be a blowout. I like it to be a very close, exciting game. Maybe an Adam Vinatieri kick is what's going to decide it.
Yeah, I do too. I do look at the Colts as being just a little bit of the better, well-rounded football team. It is T.Y. Hilton's second week back, so that's exciting for them. You're right. He was a little rusty last week. Thought Jacoby Brissett didn't play great last week either in that game when I watched back the film against the Houston Texans. I think he'll bounce back. He missed some open receivers. I think the Texans secondary tricked him a little bit a few times as far as coverage-wise. I just think the Colts defense is a little bit better than the Titans defense. And, you know, the Colts offense still, with that balance they have, I think poses some problems for the Titans defense in general. You know, the Titans defense, they are another team I look at. They just play a hair too much man at time. I think Frank Reich, you know, they're kind of aggressive in the pass game. They'll find a few ways to strike it up deep. Also, the other thing I'll say is, you know, the Colts, as we saw last week, where they're susceptible is, you know, they leave a guy like Pierre Desir on an island. I mean, hey, listen, Colts. This is world-breaking news, okay? Pierre Desir has been on 3 different teams for a reason. Stop leaving him on an island just because, you know, some guy in scouting liked him once and gave him a good grade and can't back off of it. What the hell are they doing? But the Titans don't have that type of deep passing game, I think, that takes advantage of it. I go Colts 28-24. That frustrated me last week that they left him one-on-one with Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins, like, consistently through the game. Just stupid. The Colts fall into that trap, Mike, with me a little bit of, like, they're just a little too simple. They're like the Cowboys. Eberflus came from there, where it's just a little too simple all game long. And it does not always give them the schematical advantage, but I don't know if the Titans' offense is good enough to take advantage of it in this one. Colts 28-24. All right.
Did you say scatmatical advantage?
Scatmatical. Yep. I probably did. I don't know if I did. You're better at listening to all me right. than me, okay? Buccaneers, Jaguars. It's the Buccaneers. Yo-ho, yo-ho, the Pirates left for me. The Battle of Northern Florida. The Jaguars are favored by 1.5. And it's over-under at 48.5. Did you like my Jaguar sound?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Screw you then.
I'm not sure what that was. I like your Viking horn better.
Okay, I'll get to that later.
I was bracing for it. All right. I like the Buccaneers in this one, 34-31. No rhyme or reason to it. The Jaguars have been disappointing ever since Nick Foles came back into the lineup. The Buccaneers have a greater chance to get to the postseason than the Jaguars, I believe. And, you know, Tom Coughlin had a press conference on Wednesday, and I haven't seen it yet. It was described to me by one person as bananas. So I feel like the pressure is on the Jaguars, and I don't think Coughlin knows how to keep his nose out of Doug Marrone's business, frankly, and it's one of the reasons why Jalen Ramsey's not there anymore. As you said over the weekend, the Super Bowl window has closed. I think it's been boarded up for the Jaguars. And I'm going back to that bad team Thanksgiving week, who gives a shit mindset. And the Buccaneers have more to play for. And I think the Buccaneers go in there and they get the win 34-31 with a passing game that has two receivers over 1,000 yards. And Bruce Arians, the coach of the Buccaneers, said the goal is for Chris Godwin and Mike Evans to both have 1,500-plus yards. I'd say the goal is to get to the playoffs. And the other stuff doesn't matter. But they do have the passing attack. And if Jameis Winston can minimize the mistakes, then this is a game the Buccaneers should be able to win.
Okay, I just want to argue on this, all right? I mean, the Jags, if they run the table, they could go 9-7, and we know AFC 9-7 could get in. I don't think 9-7 gets in the NFC no matter what. So I'm going to...
Yeah, but I just I don't disagree with that, but I just feel like the Jaguars recognize they ain't running the table.
Yeah, okay.
You know?
All right.
And 33-13, they lost to the Colts, and then they lost last week handily to the Titans, and I think that kind of breaks your spirit, and I think it's going to be very hard to recover from that. And I'm down. Look, this reminds me of when I picked the Colts to beat the Raiders and the Raiders beat the Colts. I was pissed at the Colts. I'm pissed at the Jaguars because we picked them to win the division,
right?
And they're screwing us, those selfish bastards. How dare they not win enough games to make us look smart? So I'm kind of pissed at the Jaguars. And that's why I'm leaning Buccaneers. And I know that's not a good reason, but I can't think of any other reason.
Yeah,
so I'm going with that one.
Well, that's okay. There's enough reason. They certainly have not found their mojo in Nick Foles, to what you said. And I do feel like their defense lost a little of their swagger since they've lost Jalen Ramsey. Now, you know, that's sometimes what people forget. When you have a star player and a guy that's like that, and emotions, he brings emotion to the team that gives the defense an edge and things like that. I don't see that same edge with the Jaguars defense right now. And of course, they got pummeled last week by the Tennessee Titans in the run game. But like, the Bucs are not a great running football team. Okay, the Jaguars can play pass defense. Now, the other side of the ball is, like, you're right. You know, the Bucs defensive line's real. It's the second best run defense in football. So Leonard Fournette and that, I don't see that happening. I'm going to play the card of, like, I'm going to go the opposite of you, that this is the game Nick Foles gets back going. And, you know, this Buccaneers pass defense, it sucks. And there's no other way to say that. They still have issues there. So I'm going to go Jags 31-28. I'm going to flip it around there on you. Again, I don't really feel comfortable with it. This game could go either way for the reasons you said, the reasons I said. I'm just going with the Jags at home and, you know, their pass defense forcing Jameis Winston to throw one or two dumb plays in the game. I think I'm just going to go with it from that angle alone. Anything else you want to say about that? No, good.
Nah.
Okay, Eagles, Dolphins. Let's move on. Eagles, Dolphins.
Eagles, Dolphins.
Yep, Eagles.
There's nothing I want to say about this one either.
Well, yeah, we can make it quick. Eagles at Dolphins. I mean, we're both picking the Eagles. We know that. Eagles at Dolphins, favored by 9.5 points, over under at 44.5, Mike. What do you got the Eagles winning by?
That 9.5's a little bit rich for me because of the uncertainties with injuries. I still have the Eagles 24-13. I don't know if it's going to be a best bet. The Eagles need this one, whether the Cowboys win or lose. If the Cowboys win, they desperately need it in order to stay within a game of the Cowboys. If the Cowboys lose, it's an opportunity to pull even with four games left. Either way, this is one. This is a game that it's like a qualification game. And if you lose it, you're disqualified. If you lose this game, you got no business going to the postseason. So if the Eagles are serious about being a team that can get to the playoffs, you cannot lose to the Miami Dolphins. They have to go down there and take care of business. Keep it simple. Run the ball. Build a lead.
Yeah.
And hold on. And I think this is a chance for Carson Wentz to start to quiet some of the doubters. People are saying, should the Eagles regret the contract they gave to him? If he keeps playing like he did last week, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of this as well. I like the Eagles in this one. And the Dolphins, again, I really want to go back and look carefully at how the underdogs who are shit teams do this week, because I think they're all going to fail to cover because it's Thanksgiving week and it's easier to lose your focus when you're not playing for anything this week.
I agree.
And so it's another reason I think the Eagles are going to win and cover 24-13.
I think the Eagles are going to win, cover. I think they're going to dominate this football game. First off, the Eagles' defense is good. We know that. The Dolphins' offense is nothing special. You know, they're not great up front. You know, I do think this is the kind of defense. This is the kind of defensive performance where you could see the Seahawks steamroll, you know, that offensive line of Miami. On the other side of the ball, hey, there's some things I like about the Dolphins defense, but not special. You know, and I, you know, to what you say, you know, the Eagles are still playing for something, like you said. The Dolphins obviously are not. You know, the Carson Wentz thing, it is. I understand the questions to say, like, you know, deserving of the contract. Listen. If you gave Carson Wentz, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods, and Cooper Kupp, they wouldn't be having these problems. So it's, to me, it's not comparable to Jared Goff. It's not. It's absolutely not. It's not even close. Nor does he have Todd Gurley behind him. You can say all you want. Miles Sanders is fine and Jordan Howard are fine. They're still not as good as Todd Gurley is right now. So I don't totally buy into that narrative. There is an issue with the Eagles and their offense because they have receivers that could barely beat you and me in a race, and that's their biggest problem. But I think this is the kind of game they will physically dominate, be motivated for. I'm going Eagles 27-10 on the road.
Let me just offer one thing here, though. As it relates to Carson Wentz and his contract,
right.
Jared Goff and his contract,
right.
Look at what the Titans and the Buccaneers did.
Yeah.
They waited.
Right.
With Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston.
Right.
They waited.
Right.
And what's the rush? Why do you – I understand.
I get – you're right.
I've argued in the past, once a quarterback, once any player who was a high first-round pick has 3 years in and he's earned his contract, you should give it to him. But unless you're damn sure about the guy, especially at quarterback, what – is the rush?
I don't – it's
what
all –
what is the hurry?
It goes
They're
back to –
they're not
going to
hold
say.
Out.
I know.
Right. They're not going to hold out. You can worry about a running back holding out, defensive lineman holding out. Your quarterback is not going to hold out in year four. It's not going to happen. There's no reason to do it. And the Eagles did it, and then I firmly believe the Rams did it in part because people like us were criticizing Goff and raising the question of whether or not the Rams would eventually say to him, no thanks, we'll find somebody else.
Yeah.
And Sean McVay pushed back so hard, he backed himself into a corner, and he got worked by Ryan Tolner into doing that contract before they needed to. They waited with Aaron Donald until his fifth year. Why did they have to rush with Todd Gurley and Jared Goff after 3 years? I can't figure that out.
No.
The message to all the other coaches and GMs, when you have a first-round quarterback, why rush? I mean, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, why rush? Everybody's saying, oh, he's getting a $200 million contract after this season. What is he going to do? Is he not going to show up? He's not going to do anything. Take advantage of that situation and wait to make your decision. Not that Mahomes is going to go south.
No.
But whether any of these guys, Deshaun Watson, any of these guys who have their third year in, why are you rushing to sign a quarterback to a long-term big money deal with only 3 years of experience, especially when you have 2 years left under the first round rookie contract structure? So it astounds me. And the Buccaneers and the Titans did the right thing. And the Eagles and the Rams, by moving when they did, I think they made a mistake. Even if Wentz ultimately validates and vindicates the contract, there was no reason for the Eagles to move when they did.
I your point is very real. Now, like with people in Mahomes and Watson, I would sign them up. Get out in front of it now. You're going to save yourself money. I mean, we know they're going to be great. That's already over. That's over. The Eagles feel that way with Carson Wentz. Listen,
I don't disagree with that.
You know,
I don't disagree with that.
Get out in front. You could save yourself money in the long run.
It's going to cost you more.
Right.
But if you're not, unless you're damn sure.
Right. Well, I think those are damn sure type guys, Mahomes and Watson.
Damn sure.
Right.
Well, with Wentz, you weren't damn sure because of the injuries. That's the irony of Wentz.
That's the irony of that one. Yes, you're
right. We're worried with him about injury.
Yeah.
And he didn't get injured.
No.
It's just, he's not, he's regressed.
No, I get it.
I'm trying to think of a guy. Okay, how about Josh Allen?
Yeah.
You're not going to be 100% sure
after
3 years that Josh Allen's the guy.
Right.
So why rush it?
You're right.
Right?
100%. I totally
Sam
agree
Darnold.
With you.
Carson, you're not going to be 100%
Carson
sure.
Carson Wentz, at least, Carson Wentz should have been the MVP the year they went to the Super Bowl. For me, that was the MVP of football that year, and he didn't get it just because he didn't play the last two games of the year, and just everybody wanted to give it to Tom Brady. And that was wrong of me, wrong to me that year. I think he was the MVP, but I'm with you. And what have we learned the last 2 years in football? Because of Carson Wentz and Nick Foles taking over, other teams, it's still a team. team fucking sport. Too many of these teams are putting the quarterback on a pedestal like, oh gosh, we wouldn't have won unless we had Jared Goff. Yeah, fucking right. You would have. You're stupid. I don't know what other to say. You're totally right, Mike. I don't know why these teams back themselves into a corner unless you know you have a slam dunk generational talent, which I do think Mahomes and Watson are for sure there. That to me is the only time you do it. You know, gosh damn, Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0. I mean, who else? Kyle Allen, he took over. He started off 5-0. It shows you have a team and you don't always have to have this franchise quarterback. And you're right. I can't wait for the first team to finally call somebody's bluff. And you were on it from the beginning with Goff. They should have called his bluff and they backed themselves in the corner and basically negotiated with themselves, which I love. And that's the same mistake the Jacksonville Jaguars did with Blake Bortles. Nobody was going to offer Blake Bortles $18 million a year. They were like, Tom Coughlin was like literally in a room, like, do you want $16 million? Do you want $17 million? We'll give you $18 million. Great. Yeah, hey, who are you negotiating against, Tom Coughlin? Yourself? I don't understand that. Okay. That was a good rant, though, by both of us. I like that one. Packers-Giants. Packers aren't. Well, we got down to the quarterback. Dimolitis is like, I thought we weren't going to talk about a lot of that game. We talked about a quarterback thing. It wasn't that
game.
It's
not. Yeah, it's about quarterback.
Shut up, Pete. Dimolitis. All right, Packers versus Giants. Oh, Aaron Rodgers coming here to the tri-state area. Going to play the Giants in that shitty pass.
Wait a minute. Are you going to the game? Are you going to get dispensation? Are you going to get Sunday afternoon off and show up after the game, the early kickoff? You get to go see Aaron Rodgers and then come to the studio? Is that what you're going to do?
I really would love to do that, but no, I can't. And I don't want to do that, actually, because I want to watch 49ers-Ravens more. So I will be with you. You can't get rid of me. All right?
Damn it.
Packers coming off an ugly, ugly loss, favored by 6.5 at the New York Giants, over-under at 45.5. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, look, the Packers, for the second straight time they went to California, they got embarrassed. They still are 8-3, and they still have an opportunity, not just to win the division, but to get a bye. And look, this is when you prove your worth as a good team. You hammer a bad team. That Thanksgiving week dynamic that I, after 18 years of doing this, I finally put two and two together and realized that some of these bad teams may not care as much during Thanksgiving week, and you have a Packers team that desperately needs this game. I think they win. I think they win easily, and I need to find the score here. I need to scroll down, and I'm buying time as I scroll down. I have 27-10 Packers over the Giants, and this is just one where, you know, the Packers, look, they can run the table. Their toughest game left is at Minnesota week 16.
Right.
They could go 4-1. They should go at least 4-1 and finish 12-4. And that may be good enough to win the division and get a bye. The Vikings would have to go 5-0, and the Vikings' next loss may be coming Monday night, in Seattle. So I think the Packers know what's in front of them. They have games they should be able to win, and they get it started with the Giants, and they put that bad experience from last Sunday night out of their minds forever.
Yeah, totally with you. I mean, there's not much to say here. These are the type of games where, you know, and here's the Packers schedule for anybody watching us on YouTube. It's at Giants, Redskins, Bears, at Vikings, at Lions. And Mike, you said it right. They should win every one of those games except the Vikings game, which is a toss-up. So I'm with you, and that sets up favorably for the Green Bay Packers. And this certainly is a game they should win. The Giants' defense is not good. To me, these are always the type of games that Aaron Rodgers can take over single-handedly. Not a great pass rush by the New York Giants. You know, they're not very good at run defense. They're not very good in pass defense. You know, the Green Bay Packers are a good running team, not a great running team. So that's going to put the Giants in a bind. You know, with no athletes on the edge, per se, with the Giants, Aaron Rodgers will be able to buy time when things aren't open, and he'll throw lasers, zing, zoom, zoom. The Packers' defense is not good either, but I just don't think the Giants have the offense right now to take advantage of that. I'm with you. I'm going Packers 31-17 here in New York. I think they win this one pretty easy. I could see the Giants moving the ball on them here and there just because, again, I don't love this Packers defense right now, but that's all there is to be said about that. You want to add anything to that matchup?
No. I still am. There's three home games for the Giants in December, and I'm still wondering, will we see Eli Manning for one of them? And how they perform on Sunday, you know, if they keep I think the question is going to start to come up after Sunday if they lose the way I think they are. I think the question, somebody's going to ask Pat Shurmur, is there a chance Eli Manning gets one game on the way out the door? I think it's finally going to come up. I've been waiting for it. I think it comes up if they lose on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe it does. I mean, you're right. I guess so if we're gonna play that card, you know, what it's week 17 against the Eagles. Eli might say, fuck that. I don't want to play against that defensive line. So he might say the hell with that. Maybe it's week 15 with the Miami Dolphins coming to town. Maybe that's the one. But again, I have a hard time thinking Eli is going to want to go out there. I mean, we did a thing today on PFT where Khalil Mack was just running over Nate Solder. He probably saw that and was like, well, good thing Daniel Jones is out there because I would have got killed in that game. All right, let's move on. Browns, Steelers. This is really one of the better games at 1 o'clock. I'm pumped to see this. This is, first of all, going to be two angry teams because of the scuffle at the end of the game a few weeks ago on Thursday Night Football. I mean, this will be chippy. I can guarantee that. We know the Steelers are chippy to begin with. The Browns have shown it, too. Browns are favored by 2.5 going into Pittsburgh, over under at 39.5. Mike, will you pick against the Steelers? I don't think you will.
I will not pick against the Steelers. This is one of those games that the Steelers win. This is just like the Rams game where I don't care that the Steelers were the underdogs. This is a game the Steelers win. And I've got 17-13, grind it out, low scoring, play defense. Duck Hodges coming in to do just enough. He didn't make a lot of great throws on Sunday to beat the Bengals, but he did just enough with that long throw and catch by James Washington.
Right.
So I do like the Steelers. And I hope it doesn't get ugly in the stands. There was a report yesterday that maybe the Steelers wouldn't let Browns fans wear Myles Garrett jerseys. They will. There's a suggestion that the game was moved from 4:25 p.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern in order to keep fans from being excessively lubricated for the game, which they're never going to admit that that's why they did it, because they don't want it to become a self-fulfilling prophecy, because, hell, people can get real drunk in the morning and carry it over to 1 o'clock.
Yep.
But I think it's smart. They need to be careful. I'm more concerned about the fans than I am about the players, because I think the officials are going to be watching more closely than ever how the players interact. And, it should be a compelling game, though. I kind of wish it was a standalone game at 4:25, or at least one of a few games at 4:25. But I like the Steelers, and it would move them to 7-5 and keep them very much alive for a wild card berth.
Yep. What do we got? Any major injuries with the Steelers? That's the only thing.
The injury reports aren't out yet. It's Wednesday. That's the problem.
Okay.
I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster missed last week's game.
Right.
James Conner was out.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen anything going into this week.
Yeah.
That's the problem of doing this on a Wednesday. We've gotten no guidance from any of the Sunday teams as to who's injured and who's not injured.
No, I know. The James Conner one's the one I'm a little intrigued by, of course, because, the Browns' defense, their run defense is not great. And, of course, no Myles Garrett. I do think motivation will be on the Steelers' side with losing a game 21-7 and then having your quarterback cracked over the head with a helmet. That's going to piss the Steelers off. And I'm with you. I'm just, again, you're right. The Browns are favored, but I'm going to trust you a little bit. And just, you're right. Through history of time, these are the kind of games the Steelers just grind it out and make it ugly and make it physical. And their defense will find a way to get one or two turnovers in a big moment and maybe give them a short field. And I'm going to boil it down to a little bit of what you said, too. Devlin Hodges will make just enough happen. He's a better thrower than Mason Rudolph. There's no doubt about that. So they're going to be a little bit more dangerous in the pass game. I'm going Steelers 19-17, I think, in a fun, physical football game. You know, it'll be intriguing. I wouldn't bet on this game. I wouldn't, just because, again, the Browns have been playing pretty good ball on the offensive side. And Baker Mayfield's been taking care of the ball. They're not shitting down their leg, as I said in the show, on a regular basis.
Or shitting in their bed.
It's a bad combination.
At the same time.
Yep, that's tough. When you shit down your leg and in the bed, that's not good. But I'm going to go with the Steelers at home, winning this one, and, kind of helping their destiny as far as a playoff team. All right.
Mike Tomlin does his midweek press conference on Tuesday. He said yesterday that Juju Smith-Schuster with a knee and a concussion and James Conner with his shoulder injury remained questionable for this week. He said he didn't have a lot of clarity on those injuries. And again, the injury reports are going to be the key. So
right.
It's not an official designation. That comes Friday. But at least for now, there is doubt. There is question. There is reason to worry about Smith-Schuster and Conner.
Yeah. All right. 4 o'clock. I think this is actually kind of an intriguing game too. Kind of under the radar. The Rams absolutely got shellacked. They're favored by 3 at Arizona. Arizona had a bye, over under 47.5. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm undecided on this one. I've gone back and forth.
Yeah,
Rams have a very, very difficult pill to process in only 6 days. And they've never dealt with anything like this. It was the worst loss the Rams have ever suffered in the L.A. Coliseum, ever. Not just over the last 3 years since they came back, but ever, when they played there all those decades between moving from Cleveland and leaving for St. Louis. Oh, wait, they were in Anaheim for a while, too. Yeah. So, but still, yeah, I was ever.
Yes.
Ever.
Gotcha.
Ever. So, did I say ever? This is one where I want the Cardinals to win, and right. I feel like it's affecting my assessment of the game.
Right.
And I don't like that. I'm going to go Rams 30, Cardinals 27, which I wish the spread wasn't 3. Let me do Rams 31, Cardinals 27, so at least I'm picking someone to cover the spread. Rams 31, Cardinals 27, final answer. I did have the Cardinals 30-27 when we started this, but I'm changing my position. Rams barely cover, win the game, and keep their slim playoff hopes alive.
Wow, changing on the fly. Okay, you didn't put that up on PFT yet? It's not out there yet, so...
It's not out there yet.
Damn. Okay. All right.
Why? You want me to go back the other way?
I do. I'm going with the Rams. I got the Rams winning by 3. So I got the push. I'm betting the push.
You don't get extra points if they win by 3.
I don't give a shit. This will not be one of my bets of the week. I don't give a damn anyways. So I am going to pick the Rams to win the football game. I think if the Cardinals had one more weapon on offense, I'd maybe would pick them here. But I do think that the Rams still have great pride. They are tough. I think they will try to bounce back. Their offense is just not going to get it together totally. But this Cardinals defense is not a good defense. And, you know, I think that the Rams can manage just enough offense. And I think that the Rams defense will slow down, you know, the Arizona Cardinals. They have the team speed on the defensive side of the ball, too. I think to contain a guy like Kyler Murray. So I think that's the other thing that plays into my thinking there. Like I said, once again, I am going Rams 24-21. You want to say anything else about that before we move on?
I will say this.
Yeah.
2017, it was Deshaun Watson. 2018, it was Patrick Mahomes. 2019, it's Lamar Jackson. I think in 2020, it's going to be Kyler Murray.
I won't doubt that.
He's going to be the next big thing next year when they have some help around him.
That's right. They need to get a little better on the offensive line. They get him another receiver or two, maybe one in the draft and one in free agency. And I am with you. I say watch the fuck out there. All right, Chargers at Broncos. Two really good defenses. Two top five defenses. I just want to make sure. I'm pretty sure they are. Nope, it's two top eight defenses. The Chargers are fifth in football. The Broncos are eighth. The Chargers had the week off after their game in Mexico where they lost, and, you know, Phillip Rivers had a bad showing. Broncos got shellacked last week against the Buffalo Bills and showed no ability to move the ball. And the Chargers are favored by 2.5. Over under at 38.5. Lead us off, Mike.
Well, you know what? This just feels like one of those weeks that the Broncos are due to win a game. There's no rhyme or reason to it. They had the 20-point lead in Minnesota, and they lost. And then they got beat by a Bills team in Buffalo that is going to be hard to beat there. But the Chargers, with some extra time to get ready, and, you know, they're trying to say all the right things, but Phillip Rivers has not looked good. And, you know, to the extent that the team is thinking about moving on from him after the season, and my guess is they are, and if they're not, they should be, that may create to just kind of, you just get a weird vibe sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And it may just be a weird vibe in the organization. You put all those things together and you stir it up, and that may be enough for the Broncos to steal it. 20-17, they won't lose their ninth game. They eventually will, but they won't lose it on Sunday. And when they do, that'll be their first time that they'll have three straight losing seasons since 70-71-72. But I like them to take this one 20-17 from the Chargers. Again, no real rhyme or reason to it. I just think the Chargers have spiraled out of control, and I don't see it turning around as quickly as they need it to.
Yeah, this is a tough one. It was a tough one to figure out for me, too. I'm going with the Chargers 20-14. I just think I think they'll win the game if Phillip Rivers doesn't, you know, just go idiotville with some of his interceptions. If he can just take care of the ball. I just question whether the Broncos can move the ball on the Chargers. I don't feel confident about it, but I'm just going to go with the team, two really good defenses, and I'm going to go with the team which I think has just a little more weaponry on the offensive side of the ball, which is the Chargers. I'm going 20-14 there, and I think that's really all I got to say about it. You want to add anything else before we go to Raiders Chiefs?
I'm starting to wonder when Anthony Lynn's going to be in trouble.
Well, why?
And I hate to say that.
Why?
I don't know.
He shouldn't be.
Here's why. At some point, and I love Anthony Lynn as a coach. He was a Coach of the Year candidate last year.
Okay.
And when you fire your offensive coordinator during the season, that's a sign that you're starting to feel the heat. You don't just do that because you feel like it, right? At some point, somebody in that Chargers organization is going to realize the only way they're going to make it in L.A. is with some sizzle. And there's nothing about that team other than Joey Bosa and maybe Derwin James, if he can stay healthy, that says sizzle. They need a coach that says sizzle. They need a quarterback that says sizzle. They need receivers that say sizzle. You still have to be good, but if they want to win the market, and the opening's there as the Rams regress.
Right.
You know, the Rams made an all-in bet, and they didn't have the cards.
Yeah.
Now they don't have a first-round pick next year, first-round pick the year after. Who knows if Jalen Ramsey's going to want to stay? They're stuck with Jared Goff for three more years after this year. Todd Gurley's going to be gone after this season unless he redoes his deal. The Rams could create an opening for the Chargers. The Chargers at some point have to understand when you move to L.A., you got to accept the L.A. vibe, the Hollywood lifestyle. You got to have some sunglasses on like the Ravens did on the sidelines. You got to cater to the entertainment aspect and still win. But that's why I'm saying I feel like eventually the light's going to come on for somebody in the Chargers organization. And that team is going to be, from that point forward, constructed from the top to the bottom with an eye toward entertainment value, because ultimately they're trying to make money. They're trying to fill the stadium. Winning games is part of that, but it's an entertainment business, and you got to convince the people in LA to show up and support you, not the visiting team that you play every week you have a home game, but you.
I agree with you, everything. But Anthony Lynn is not the reason to blame there. This is where ownership and the GM are at fault. They let Phillip Rivers hijack the team. That's all there is to say. And I've heard rumors that they wanted to put Tyrod Taylor in there to play quarterback this year, but that just can't happen. So, you know, they're stuck with that. But I'm with you. They do need some sizzle. They went 12-4 last year and had the best record in the AFC. So we can't forget about that. And really had some unfortunate situations with Melvin Gordon and all that, too, to start the year. I still am a believer in Anthony Lynn. So I don't want him to be fired. Gus Bradley's very good on the defensive side of the ball. That's why we both believe Cam Newton would be the perfect fit for them next year in Los Angeles. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. All right, let's move on. Raiders Chiefs. Raiders got shellacked. Now they're going to Kansas City. I don't know what the weather's going to be. If it's cold, I'm not sure I feel confident about the Raiders. Chiefs favored by 9.5 after a bye week. Andy Reid is awesome after bye weeks. We know that. And the over-under's at 51.5. Mike, what do you think the Chiefs will win this one by?
Yeah, look, before the Raiders lost to the Jets, I was talking myself into thinking this is going to be an exciting game that could go either way. I've got Chiefs 30, Raiders 21. It was 28-10 when they got together in Oakland earlier this year. You know, the Chiefs had the extra time to get ready. They know what the stakes are here. They need to win this game. They can't afford to stumble against the Raiders. And they still have a shot at a bye here because they beat the Ravens. And if they could just pick up some ground on Baltimore, and it may not be easy to do, but if they could win the rest of their games, and if Baltimore loses twice, then there's a bye still in the cards for the Chiefs. But they can't screw around and force themselves to go on the road throughout the playoffs. They at least need to win the division. And if they beat the Raiders, they'll probably put themselves in position to do that. So I like the Chiefs 30-21. That means let me go 31-21. 31-21. So it's a Chiefs cover. I don't want to do that half-point Raiders backdoor bullshit cover. I'll take the Chiefs to cover 31-21, and they'll be on their way to the AFC West Championship.
I got a 31-21 anyways, so it's good that you joined in a great mind like myself. But first off, I do think the Chiefs' run defense is better. So I don't think that the Raiders are just going to be able to run them over. I do think Andy Reid will reassess and come out with proper game plans here off of a bye week, let alone have some new wrinkles. The Raiders' defense is not special. They play hard, but they're just not special. There's just not a lot of difference makers there. And I think just that's too much for them to overcome, the Raiders, that is. And I think that the Chiefs do roll in this one. I think they kind of comfortably win a 31-21 game. Like, almost think it'll be like 31-14, and the Raiders score a late touchdown to win the game. Anybody know the weather in Kansas City? Because if it's around the 20s or 30s,
I mentioned it earlier today, so you don't listen to me. It's going to be in the upper 30s,
upper 30s.
At
you're
kickoff.
Right.
And the wind's going to be in the range of 16 miles per hour.
Right. Okay. Very good. You're right. I don't listen to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Fuck yourself.
Yep. Fuck yourself.
What?
Too. What? What'd you say? All right.
Huh?
Here we.
I have Tourette's syndrome.
Here we freaking go. Sunday night football. I think this is the second best game of the weekend, other than 49ers Ravens, Patriots at Texans, Billy O'Brien versus old team. You know, Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Hopkins, is Will Fuller okay? Did he pull his hamstring in the end of that game last week? He's hurt every other week for the rest of his whole career. I can't stand it anymore. Hey!
I think he's fine.
Houston.
Once again.
What?
Once again, the injury report doesn't come out until after we're done
with
this.
Well, I just was wondering if you had any information. I know that. I just was wondering if you had any information from a press conference.
I've heard nothing to suggest.
Okay.
I've heard nothing to suggest that Will Fuller has a hamstring problem. I will check while you say whatever you're going to say.
Well, I want to say, you know, you've heard me rant about this before. Hey, Houston, it's not his hamstring that's in the issue. He pulls his hamstring. He's been rehabbing his hamstring for 4 years now. There's obviously a deficiency somewhere else in his fucking body. Somebody figure it out. Can the NFL get out of the caveman period for sports medicine? I mean, holy shit, does it drive me crazy. I mean, I'm sure he's done 9 million hamstring exercises over the last 2 years. It's not his fucking hamstring. It's probably his quad or his ass or his lower back. Something connected that's making the hamstring overwork. Get a fucking clue, somebody there, and fix it. Holy shit. He's a big difference in their football team, and he's the only chance they have if they want to make a playoff run, because they can't just do it with Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. Their defense is not good enough this year, and that's an issue. But I do think they pose problems when Will Fuller's on the field and healthy against the Patriots, you know, because they're aggressive down the field. They stay patient with the run game, and they make you defend the whole field that way. So when you have Fuller, Hopkins, and Kenny Stills, and Fells at tight end, who's pretty damn good, and then Duke Johnson and Carlos Hyde of the backfield, that's not bad. They can give some problems. And we know the Patriots' offense is not great. But nonetheless, you know, this Texans' defense is not great. And even though they played pretty good last Thursday night, I still don't trust it. I need to see it a little bit more. I'm picking the Patriots to win 21-16.
Oh, wow. I got 21-17. Look how close we are to picking the same score.
Oh, we're the two best friends that anybody could have. Go ahead.
Are you done? Are you done?
Yes.
I just think that the Patriots recognize that the heat is on them. They don't want to go to Baltimore for an AFC Championship game rematch. They need to keep winning and keep winning and keep winning as long as the Ravens keep winning. And we've seen this movie before. The Texans may make it interesting, but Bill Belichick owns Billy O, and he's going to own him again with that defense. Lock down DeAndre Hopkins with Stephon Gilmore and try to confuse and confound Deshaun Watson. Keep him in that pocket. Don't let him run free. Swarm, and do just enough with your offense to outscore their offense. I do like the Patriots to win.
Okay, cool. I think so, too. This is to be interesting. It really will. I'm going to be interested to see how the Patriots attack it, because it's hard to cover all those three guys man-to-man. And Deshaun Watson is one of the most gifted deep ball throwers in football. He throws such a pretty ball, and I really am interested to see how this plays out. All right. It's the mother-freaking Vikings at the Seahawks. It's Florio's team versus Florio's 1B team, because I feel like you love the Seahawks almost as much as you love the Vikings. Vikings going to Seattle. Seattle favored by 3 points. over under 48.5. Vikings had a week off. They're going to be feeling fresh going up to the Pacific Northwest. Will you pick your team to win or lose? Ooh, he's scratching his chin. He's not sure. He's a little undecided. He's got a close score, and he's thinking about taking the Vikings in this one.
I'm not an idiot. The Seahawks are, and you said this earlier today when we did the power rankings on PFT Live, there is a cluster of five teams that are cut above everyone else. And it's the 49ers, the Ravens, the Patriots, the Saints, and the Seahawks. And in the next cut are the Packers and the Vikings, and then it goes down from there, and the Chiefs. This is a test of your formula, right? Seahawks should win this game. And the Vikings looked like crap the first half of the game against Denver the last time we saw them. And yes, they beat the Cowboys in primetime. And hey, maybe they'll win another primetime game, but I don't see it happening until they play the Packers at home in 4 weeks or 3.5 weeks in primetime. I think their Chargers game is going to get flexed out of primetime because of the Chargers, not because of the Vikings. But Seahawks, even though Mike Zimmer's defense, yeah, very good at controlling and containing Russell Wilson. They got a pleasant surprise in Rashad Penny last week, but I think the Seahawks defense will be able to stop Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison, and I don't think Kirk Cousins will be able to have the kind of night that we've seen him have recently. Although, you know, right now Kirk Cousins has the highest passer rating among starters, and Russell Wilson is just behind him. And hey, prove me wrong, right? If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But this is an opportunity for the Vikings to crash that party at the top of the league. I don't think they're ready to do it. I think the Seahawks win. If you remember last year's Monday night game, and I know a lot's different, yeah, last year's Monday night game in Seattle between these two teams was a disaster for the Vikings. They could do nothing offensively. They could have played 12 quarters, and the Vikings wouldn't have been able to get anything going. Now, this year, they may be able to do a little bit more, but I think the Seahawks are better offensively. Their defense has gotten better on the fly. Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a key injury watch in this one. He didn't play last week. He was so dominant that Monday night against the 49ers. But, you know, 18-2 at home in primetime under Pete Carroll, how can you pick anyone versus the Seahawks when that game is being played at night?
Yeah, agreed. I tend to lean Seahawks here too. I don't feel like, and Jadeveon Clowney will be a real thing, and I know I saw some quotes from Pete Carroll earlier in the week that he thought, you know, things were in the right direction, which was encouraging. But I just have a hard time believing that the run game bootleg formula is going to work against the Seattle defense. I guess that's where I question it a little bit. I do think the Seattle defense has turned the corner the last few weeks as to what you said. You know, they're statistically still 23rd in football, but I don't think that's really fair to what we've seen over the last few weeks from their defense in general. I think they got it rolling. They figured out the formula in which they want to play there. Also, you know, you're right, the Vikings have given Russell Wilson and that offense some issues over the years, and the Vikings defense is good, but it's not great. And I think the other thing that I look at is that offensive line can be overpowering for the Seattle Seahawks. We'll see how good CJ Procise is this week. I mean, I was excited to watch him make some plays last week. And then the other thing that really scares me is the Vikings just leave Xavier Rhodes and Trey Waynes one-on-one too much. And this is a different Seahawks team this year. They got some guys who can take it deep and beat guys one-on-one, like legitimately, and scare the shit out of you. And that's where Russell Wilson's great. He, you know, along with Deshaun Watson, is one of the great deep ball throwers in the game right now. So I'm going to pick a close one here. And as I'm actually saying it, I think maybe I should have picked the Seahawks to win by a few more points. But this will not be my best bet either way. I'm going Seahawks 24-23. I kind of vision a late score, a late field goal to win the football game, something like that. But either way, I think the Seahawks do win this.
And I got 24-20, if I didn't mention it earlier, Seahawks over the Vikings. And you tried to bait me into taking the Vikings. But I think, do we agree on every game except 49ers-Ravens?
No, we did not. Jacksonville-Tampa Bay and Denver-Chargers.
All right. Well, you have a little bit of a chance. You still got a long way to go there, Christopher. I still have what's my lead?
Four game lead. Best bets. Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, getting a little nervous.
Have our best bets from Thanksgiving, where I took the Bears to cover and you took the over in Saints Falcons, right?
Yes.
Right. So So, okay. So here we go. There's your underdogs on Thanksgiving week. Let's look at this. 2018.
My theory.
Yeah.
My theory has been proven at least over the last 2 years. Do we have the graphic?
Yep. There it is. Can you see it?
Oh, there it is right there. It's I thought it was like a full screen. It's
put
not
it up again.
Screen. Put
so
it back up
so
I can
so
see
he
it.
Can appreciate it. I mean, he's gazing into my eyes and he forgot to look down. I know
the bottom line is I'm on to something. I'm on to something. It should say 2017, 2018. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. 2-14 straight up, 4-12 against the spread in 2017 were the underdogs Thanksgiving weekend. 2018, 3-12 straight up, 5-10 against the spread Thanksgiving weekend. The underdogs, the shit teams, the bad teams, they do not focus as well as they should Thanksgiving week. So, and that doesn't mean every underdog, because the Ravens and the 49ers both give a shit.
Right.
And the Browns and the Steelers both give a shit.
Right.
But when you're dealing with the crap teams, the teams that have the fork stuck in them, just like your Thanksgiving turkey.
Yep.
Bet against them. And really, I'm based on those numbers, and my guess is if we peel out the games where both teams were still playing for something, if we just went with the shit team underdogs from those weeks, it would be overpowering. It'll be clear. Bet the favorites when you've got a team that's still alive going against a team that's done Thanksgiving week. Because the team that's still alive is going to focus, and the team that's done is going to have a belly full of food, and they're not going to care, and they're going to get their asses kicked, and then they'll worry about trying to win football games next week.
You're 100% there, man. I agree. I mean, just to speak to it, my own, you know, the years we were shit in the NFL, man, it was like – the coaches kind of didn't care on Thanksgiving either. You might have just got the full day off. If you did, you went in real early and you were out of there. If you were playing for something, you might have got out a little earlier, but you still had a pretty real day on Thursday. Like, okay, yeah, we might get done at 3 o'clock. But if you were a shit team, it might have been like, hey, we'll get in for meetings and have a walkthrough, and you guys can get home at 11:30 or 12 o'clock to speak to your point. So I think that is very real.
And all the stuff at home. Right.
Yeah.
If you got a family, you got Thanksgiving stuff to worry about, and who's coming over, and somebody's got to go to the store, and somebody's got to cook. It just throws your routine, your personal routine, upside down. And if you are playing for a team that blows, it's not an unwelcome distraction.
Right.
So all right.
Best bets.
Best bets.
Get it going, kid.
Carolina Panthers giving 9.5 to Washington. That's the easiest one of the week. I think Carolina is going to destroy them.
I'm with you. I'm going there, too. We don't have to talk about that too much. I'm going 27-10. I think you picked, 27-13?
Yes.
I remember, right? So, okay, I'm with the Panthers. There we go. We're the same there. Go to number two, kid.
Next up, Green Bay Packers going against a shit team, all due respect, that isn't playing for anything Thanksgiving week. Packers win, cover the 6.5-point spread.
Damn. Okay.
You're allowed to take the same one.
No, I am. I mean, I got that marked down too. I can't help it. I mean, I'm not going to just go against it. I want to win. I want to have people tune into our podcast and go, hey, these fucking two idiots actually aren't that stupid all the time and idiotic. So I'm with you. I'm going the Packers as well there. Yeah. I got a 31-17. What did you have it as?
I can't remember. But more than 6.5 points.
You had a 27-10. Yep. Okay. And now give me your last one.
Last one. I'm liking this over-under stuff. And again, I look at it very, very objectively and dispassionately. And the feeling just has to naturally come that the number's off. And this week, the number is off in Arizona. 47.5 is too fucking low. Bet the over. Jam the over. They're scoring more than 47.5 points when the Rams and the Cardinals get together on Sunday afternoon.
Okay. All right. You're going with the over. All right.
And I thought about the over in Bucks-Jags, but I'm not 100% sure. I looked at the scores of their games this year.
Yeah,
it could
hard.
Be a shootout, and I think it will be, but I'm not ready to make it a best bet.
I hear you. I'm stuck a little here. My two game, I don't know. I picked the 49ers to win, and I do think even if they lose, they're not going to lose by more than 5.5 points. The other one that really jumps out to me is Eagles-Dolphins, but I think I'm scared of the Eagles not having enough weapons and Brian Flores being a pretty good defensive coach and maybe just hanging around a little bit there in that one. So I'm going with the 49ers. I'm going to make that my last best bet there. I just don't trust the Eagles offense enough, even though I picked it to be 27-10. But again, with lack of weaponry, you know, the Dolphins could slow them down and make that a pain in the ass football game. I like the 49ers to win the game, but I just don't see how they lose by more than 5.5 points. If they lose this game, it'll be by no more than a field goal, in my opinion. So there you have it. I'm going with the Niners. We got, to recap, we both got the Panthers. We both got the Packers. You're going with the over in Rams Cardinals, which is at 47.5. And I am going with the 49ers to cover the 5.5 point spread. I think they're actually going to win the game. So there you have it. Anything else you want to say? All seriousness, man. You the man. Love working with you. Happy Thanksgiving. Tell Jill I said hello. I hope you, the whole family has fun. I hope you smoke some big fat cigars in the barn tomorrow and enjoy the football.
Let me just share. What was that? Did you fart?
No.
Oh,
that was Pete going, aw.
Thank you. Oh, I thought you farted to really cap your thought in a heartwarming
Pete
way.
Pete had us press the button to say aw for us to hear that. I don't know why, but he did.
I want to share an email that I got. You know, we get a lot of emails from people who listen to the show or visit the website, and some of them just have more of an impact on me than others. So at this special holiday time, let me just share one. I won't give the name out, even though there's nothing that prevents me from doing it. I just want to read to you the kind of thing that I'm going to carry into this holiday season. Hey, Rubber Dick, what is your obsession with wanting to get people fired all the time? What is your obsession with wanting Ezekiel Elliott to hold out this spring? And then he turns out to be a real piece of shit, you stupid fucking big-eared galoot. So happy Thanksgiving on that.
Wow, great. I don't think your ears are that big, though, so that's not fair.
Thanks. So right. That's the only part of it that's incorrect.
Yes. All right, everybody. please rate, review, PFTPM, Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Check us out. Florio's always doing pods. I do 3 a week. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. Please travel safely. Peace out. Enjoy the games on Sundays. We're out of here.
Don't text and drive. Don't text and drive.
Don't text and drive. Please don't. You're not that important, and neither is the person you're texting. See you later. Peace.
Later.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.